Morning. If you hear my voice get shaky, it's because my heart's beating so hard that it makes my breath go away a bit. So, I actually am excited to be up here this morning, and I can't believe that. If you would have told me 2 months ago that I would feel like I do now, I would tell you that you have no idea what you're talking about. But I believe it's for two reasons. I believe that, first of all, because I have something to share today. And if I didn't have that, you'd be just looking at me. And I wouldn't enjoy that. Second reason is because I've never felt so cared for in my life. And it's because of you guys. I know that there's been a lot of prayers this week. And it's because of that that I have this to share. So, the hour has come. Let's see what we have here. I wanna take us on a little journey this morning, and it's basically my thoughts and my experiences and my time spent in the Bible over the last 2 months. And it was been kind of a crazy journey because I started out thinking that I felt like I wanted to preach on relationships and the value of them, and you know, different people I met with. And there's one conversation that I had at the shop with a customer, and that's pretty much where this message came out of. And I'm going to share that with you later. But the message title is The Church of Jesus Christ. And I have a lot of questions. So when I started with this message, I just have like a lot of questions. And I'm going to ask you those questions and kind of just take you through my journey as we go. So the first question was, what is the Church of Jesus Christ? Is it a place to build brotherhood and discipleship? Is it a place to perform outreach and evangelism? Is it a place at all? Is it both of those things, or is it neither? These are the questions I'm asking myself. And so I was like, well, let's see where this church started. Maybe the Church of Jesus Christ is a church. So let's see where this church started. So I call our historian, my father, and I said, so where did this church start? And I know we are a branch of Faith Mennonite Church, and so I believe it was 13 families that started a new church. They didn't have a name yet, but they started the new church, and they met in the basement of Ridge by Rafters first in 1992. So we are not an old church. We're young. We're not even 30 years old. And so they met there in Ridgeply Rafters for, I believe it was about a year. February of 93, they called themselves Wilmersdorf Mennonite Church, and that's us. And they met in the borough building in the second story. The ministry of faith was kind of just taking the leadership roles and taking turns to help the church get started. And after they met in the borough building, they had an ordination. And they ordained Jonas Zook as the deacon, and they also ordained J.J. Jarman as a pastor. So that was the first ministry. J.J., his vision for the church, his heart was towards discipleship, while there were some people in the church that were more towards outreach. And so I'm going to just drop down through the years a little bit here and kind of give you the vision of each of the pastors in that church and who they were. 94, land was purchased, this land here, and they started, without taking a loan, they started to build the church. That was their goal, to build it without having to go in debt. And from 94 to 97, they were still meeting in the borough building. And 97, they would have started meeting in the basement down here before the upstairs was finished, so they could kind of take in steps. After they were meeting in this church in 98, Phil Hollinger was ordained. He was the ordained pastor. His heart was for outreach and relationships, while Jonas Zook was still a deacon. And we had Richard Neuswanger, 2002, he became the head pastor. He was, that was when Phil, Richard would have been, in 2002, he would have been the head pastor, and his heart was towards discipleship and church planting. And through that, we have had two church plants from our church, through Richard's vision for church planting. Randy Sensnick would have taken Richard's place when he started the Family Harvest. His vision and heart was towards discipleship. And today, we have Josh Neuswanger, Richard's son, my cousin, and he's our head pastor. Trulin Martin and myself would be assistant pastors, and Durbin Jelly is our deacon. So I asked Josh, what is his vision or heart for our church now, today? And he said this. To enable each part of the body to thrive in the gifts God has given them. And I've seen this firsthand. Like, I believe in this. Because it's not just Josh's vision, it's the whole team's vision. That's the heart behind the team, to allow God to work and to enable this to happen. And so I'm encouraged by this. You know, we've had like a lot of different visions through the years of this church, and that's good and that's great. But today we're here now, and so we need to go from here. So first of all, there's the questions, there's the history, and now I'm like, okay, well, that's what our church came from, and we're here now. So what does the Bible say about the Church of Jesus Christ? So where do we start? And I was really encouraged by last Sunday's message. Both Trulin and Sheldon, Sheldon had the devotional. They spoke to the heart behind this message. And at first I was like, oh, dude, these guys are sharing my scripture that I studied for. Oh, I'm to find something else. And I was like, well, no, it's all right. Like, this is crucial. Like, we need to understand this. And not only understand it, but we need to allow it to change our lives personally. Also, the other Sunday morning, Corey was teaching Sunday school, and he said, you know, it feels like sometimes we come to church and we hear these inspiring messages and we're challenged. And then we go down to Sunday school and we discuss them and we say, you know what, this is what we need to change. And he said, it feels like just by acknowledging that there is an area in our life that needs improvement, it's good enough. Because we acknowledged it, right? So now we don't have to fix it. And then we continue to move on through our life and we live our week just like the week before. And acknowledging it isn't good enough. We need to see something and point it out, ideally through the messages and discussion and encouraging each other, and then actually make a difference. And I could totally relate to that. I know exactly what he was saying, and I know exactly that's what I've done so many times myself. So, moving on to what the Bible says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:12. Like I said, this is literally going over the same section of scripture we went over last Sunday. First Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. All right, so I said, okay. Speaking to myself, I'm like, we're talking about the church is explained as a physical body. And we know that. But I think the question that we need to ask before we go any farther is, do we want to be a part of that body? Do we actually want to? We've been taught that we should be. We've been taught that, you know, if we come to church, that's what we, you know, our responsibility as a Christian is to come and to learn and to grow. But do we individually want to be a part of this body? Because each part of this body has its own gifts and its own jobs. And to function properly as we're designed to function, we need to have those gifts. And so I say, okay, if I want to be a part of a body, I first need to go back to the start. And I need the basics. I am not smart. So I need to go back to just the basics. And the question I ask you to make that decision, if you want to be a part of the body, is, have you claimed your identity in Christ? So let's turn to read Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross so I can be forgiven, and was raised from the dead, I am a child of God. This is who I am. My study Bible says this, and I thought this was awesome. It says, at salvation, all believers receive full membership of Christ's body, the church. But the Holy Spirit is placed within each of us. There is no such thing as a formula for instantly increased spirituality. Christ's plan for salvation is perfect, and he calls us only to trust and obey in what he has already given us. So I believe it needs to start if we want to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. It needs to start in our hearts. It needs to start in those quiet places. And when we get to that place, we need to, first of all, identify our source of strength is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, this morning that became very real to me. I know that. I have that knowledge in my head. But I can't say it's always in my heart. I woke up this morning and I was just sick. And I was like, I couldn't sleep. And I was like, this is not going to go well. And I had this sense of urgency that I needed to just go downstairs and pray. My wife came down and she's like, it seemed like you were racing out of the room this morning. What was that all about? And I was like, well, it's how I felt. And so I went downstairs and I just prayed and I just said, you know, God, take this feeling of sickness away from me. And as I was praying, I was like, you know, maybe I've always thought this is the burden that I need to bear. You know, this is part of Newswire nerves. We're a mess. You know, if we have to get in front of people or we get, you know, see something that's like moving, we're bawling right away. And it's like, maybe this is just my burden. And I was praying, I was like, you know what, it's probably more than that. I believe it's more than that. I believe that if I do well and I don't feel sick and I feel confident and I wake up and I feel like I'm gonna nail this thing, it's gonna be fine, then it becomes about me. And I don't typically lack confidence. That's just not who I am. And so if I feel like I did a great job, then this becomes more about me than about God working through me. So yeah, instead of continuing to pray that it goes away, I changed my prayer to thank you, God, for this feeling. and was gone. I mean, I still feel nervous, but I don't feel sick. I believe it's in times like these that our desire to follow God grows stronger. So just recap the last couple of things, a couple of points was, I believe, I am, I want, and I do. I believe in God. I am a child of God. I want to follow Him. And I do follow Him. Doing God's work involves being stretched. And I believe that. So if we're never stretched, and we never allow ourselves to be in a position where we're vulnerable, we will never know our gifts. You'll never know what part of the body we are. I believe that the best judge of our gifts is not ourselves. Those around us that know us well, if we are honest with each other, we'll be able to point out our strengths and our weaknesses. Let's read verse 13 back in 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we all are made to drink of one Spirit. And I believe this is key. I didn't see this until I read it probably 20 times. But I think this is key. The Holy Spirit guides each one of us who are His children. So if we trust that my brother or my sister is led by the same Spirit that I am, and they point out our strengths or our weaknesses, how powerful is that? It's unmeasurable. They see us from a completely different angle than we do, a different perspective. And so that's what we're designed to do. We are designed, first of all, to be led by the Spirit. And if we are linked to the Spirit, then we can trust that what we see, we can share. And the person that we share it with, if they're linked to the Spirit, they need to trust us. For by one Spirit. I believe that this church is full of gifts. I don't even question that. And just a couple of things. I mean, just look at the encouragement that I was given this week in prayer and text messages, phone calls, people stopping in the shop. I mean, that's a gift to be able to bless someone like that. Use that. There's a ladies group that meets here on Thursdays. And their heart for starting that group of meeting here was to pray for each one of us as fathers. And they still do it. That's a gift. There's a heart for a ladies group to start up and just to fellowship and care for each other, which is going to be starting soon. It's called Real. The leaders of that group have a gift. So we know there's gifts, and are we using them? So the rest of the verses, 14 through 25, it's difficult to read. I read it a bunch of times. I'm like, I'm not even going to try to read all this because I'm just going to screw it up. But basically what it does is it says verses 14 to 25 is just explaining our need for unity. It's explaining that each part of the body individually is useless. I mean, the picture I got is if we were one giant nose, how useful would it be? We could smell great, but that's it. But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? So do you believe that you're here this morning, placed here by God? Do you believe that you have a purpose here? So that's just one part of the body. But I believe we each have a purpose. So let's move on to looking into unity a little bit. We see the importance of it in Corinthians, verses 14 to 25. There's also importance in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 5. All right, Ephesians 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for each other in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's that unity of the Spirit. That's the glue that holds us together. It's not this church. Like this building and these gatherings are not what hold us together. Unity means to be joined in spirit first and then in purpose. If we aren't joined in spirit, then the purpose is going to die. And it is useless. Just stop and think with me for a minute. This unity is not just something, like I said, that happens here at church on Sunday morning or any other church function for that matter. This unity needs to take place in our hearts, not because we attend Wilmersdorf Mennonite Church, because we choose, but because we have the same Spirit living in us. And I don't want to belittle church membership. I don't want to belittle this church body. But we do individually choose to be a member here, because we believe that this church best aligns with our values as a family, typically, or as an individual, and the way that we interpret the Bible. So this is the body of believers that we choose to be a part of. It does not identify who we are. I believe that the believers are not a result of the church. I believe that the church is a result of the believers. And the second thing we need to do is when we have that spirit, like I said, we identify, we're united in spirit and then in purpose. And we need to recognize our need for each other. And I know that. I believe that. And this is the little story I want to tell you about where this message came from. It was Friday of last week. Yeah, Friday of last week. My dad had left to go to the cabin and was starting the day out, getting each car lined up to get the repair order started up. And my mom stopped in to do some book work. And so she was in the office. And this gas customer pulls in and I pumped his gas probably 50 times before. It's a really common customer. And I know this guy is passionate about Christ. I know he's Christian. And I walked up to his car. I was like, how are we doing? He's like, good. And we just started talking about, life and its busyness. And in the next few minutes, he challenged me in my Christian walk. Incredibly. First, he said, so he's like, in this busyness and all this mess that we have going on, he's like, what has God taught you in the last 2 weeks? well, I know I've been stretched in the last 2 weeks, and so I started to think a little bit. And I like kind of put my hand up on his doorpost, and I just kind of put my head down. I was just thinking a little bit, and he's like, "Wait just a minute." He's like, "That's just weird." He's like, "That's exactly how your dad stands when he pumps my gas." And I was like, "Man." So I thought a little bit, and I was like, "You know what? What I've learned was to be able to trust in God." I had the opportunity to preach it at Darian and Chris's wedding. It didn't feel like an opportunity at first, but it was. And I learned a lot. And I learned to trust that God's going to give me something. And he was faithful. So I told him about that. And then he's like, "So, you know, that was a cool story." He said, "But what's the most powerful thing that God has ever done in your life?" I'm like, "This dude, he doesn't even know me. And he's just like asking me these questions and making me really think." And so I did. And I was just like, and we shared for a while. I pumped this dude's gas for like 20 minutes. And my mom was answering the phone, and it was like there was nobody pulled in. I mean, first thing in the morning, I usually have like 20 fires to put out at least. And there was nobody. It was just quiet. I think the phone rang one time. And yeah. So I walked away from that conversation, and I was like, you know, this guy challenged me not only in my walk with Christ and what I'm learning and how I'm growing, but he showed me this awesome picture of Jesus Christ, our Father, living through us. Because he could see my dad in me. Why is that? Well, because first of all, I'm from him, so I have a lot of who he is in me naturally. But I spend a ton of time with him. And I know him. And that's going to show. So where did that conversation come from? How did that even take place? I believe it was a result of the unity of the Spirit. I believe that. Because I know he's connected to the Father. I know that without a question. So I would love to hear from you guys, maybe in sharing time or in Sunday school, either one, just to share maybe how you've been blessed or you've been challenged by different people. Those stories are inspiring. They not only tell us how important it is to share with people, but to ask those questions. So what's something that keeps those conversations like that from happening? I believe it's our self-sufficient mindset. It's we're strong enough on our own. We don't need anybody. I mean, we've been raised really well. We've been raised to work hard and take care of our needs and take care of what our responsibilities are. And those are good things. But I think it can probably be one of the biggest obstacles in the body of Christ. Is that we don't need each other. But I tell you right now, we do. And I think that any asking for anything, including spiritual accountability, is a sign of weakness. That's how we view it. And that's wrong. I believe there's healing in brokenness. I believe there's unity in vulnerability. And I believe there's power in weakness. And I know that the story Trillin told and preached on last Sunday was an awesome example of that. Of the crippled man and his four friends, he was completely helpless. but through the faith that he and his friends had as a unified team to get to Jesus, there was healing. And this healing didn't stop in that room that day, because I believe that we are still being inspired by that story today. They had a common goal, there was a common faith, and there was unity. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this challenge? I think we need to put it into action. What does this carrying our brothers and sisters to the feet of Jesus look like today? Is this happening in our church? Are we encouraging each other's gifts? And how can we take care of each other's needs if we don't know them? Just some questions that I'm raising. And I think each one probably has a different answer to these questions. And that's the beauty of it. Because we can all come to this unity at a different perspective. Could we be more intentional about our relationship with Christ and the body? And have we become content with our relationship with God and others? I think contentment in our relationship with God and others is probably a pretty scary place to be. Like, I don't want to become content. I don't want to have enough. So what is the Church of Jesus Christ? That's the question I asked at the beginning. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is those who are living in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And the body of Christ, the church, is a powerful tool for acknowledging our strengths and our gifts. And it gives a place to use them as a team. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness and for your care for each of us. God, I thank you for this challenge that you gave me, and also the opportunity that you gave me to share. Lord, I pray for this body, and I know how valuable they are to each other and to me. Lord, I ask that you would continue to work in us. Lord, just plant your Spirit in us, that we can have a unified church and be able to build each other together for the kingdom. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in closing, I asked Trulin to play a song. And I'm sure you've heard it many times before. But Friday night, we had family over, and the words just really spoke loudly to me. I heard one of the kids was singing it, and so I went and punched it in YouTube and listened to the song, and the words are extremely powerful. So I hope you guys can be blessed by this song. Thank you. I'm too wise.
Like